before you guys came, I was sitting here all by myself. Yeah. And I was like singing like the intro. I was like, I am Michael Rasso, and I host the AC podcast.
Rasso? Is it Rasso?
Rasso is actually better.
It's better.
But it's Rasso?
But it's preferred.
Yeah, mostly Rasso. I like Rasso.
Did people call you
No,
Rasso?
Actually, no. They call me Batman.
Batman?
Yeah, you can have mine.
It's America's Got Talent ones, because it's America's Got Talent special edition. It's America's Got Talent related.
It's part-time writer, full-time waitress, Aaron Hicks.
Hey.
What are you
talking about? This is the AC podcast.
What? We should do it.
Aaron Hicks. That's what it says.
AC podcast.
She was the one that died.
Six-word memoir. That is so weird.
Coming to you in your room.
This isn't Snapple. What the hell is this?
Visiting you in your car.
It has the back.
It's another tea company trying to do the same thing.
Sounds going into your brain.
Are we on?
You're talking. Yes. This is like an acid trip.
Yeah. I've been watching Mad Men on VHS. Yeah. Nice. Thanks to my dad. You see that the characters take acid trips.
I knew that was going to happen. I knew it.
How'd you know?
I just knew it.
Which character?
So what year are you in? Like, what year is it now?
68.
It's 68?
Oh, this is a Polaroid that my friend Leslie did.
Oh, it's cool.
She painted it. Like, it's like etched.
That's cool.
Like, when you first take the Polaroid picture, you kept going there with, like, dental tools, and you could like etch.
That's how that Peter Gabriel cover was.
Yeah.
Remember? Talked about that. It was originally a color photo, too.
They removed color. Bunch of fancy schmancy studio.
Yeah, I think they did that in post, yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. This is it's called Good Morning Tiny, Morning Annie by Leslie Lazenby, May 2012. It's a Polaroid. It's called the Manipulated Polaroid Picture.
Manipulated.
So this is the, for those listening, you're like wondering what's going on. This is the podcast.
What's going on?
This is the podcast for Alternative Cinema, which is the DVD catalog, massive DVD catalog for all things cool and creepy, cult movies.
Weird and wonderful.
Weird and wonderful.
Sexual.
It's so weird coming from you.
She said that as I was picking up this tit patrol button.
Tit patrol.
This
horror
is a
boobs.
Button. Horror boobs, tit patrol button.
Horror boobs.
Yeah.
That's a website?
Yeah.
All about, let me guess.
Yeah, you looked up once.
Girls, boobs, and horror movies.
Yes.
Yeah. So, we're here in the studio. My name is Michael Rasso. Is that good?
Rasso?
It's either. And to my left is the Russ, Aaron Russ. Hi.
Hi.
The Russ.
And William Hellfire is here.
Hey, everybody.
And the John Fidelli.
The John Fidelli or whatever.
It's hey, this is the 40th episode.
Oh, whatever.
Do you have that?
Mr. Steely Dan.
Do you have
whatever.
That, Steely Dan?
Yeah.
This is our 40th episode.
Wow.
Whoa. Get out.
Yeah.
Almost as many episodes as I am years on this earth.
That's
Almost.
What I was just going to ask. Let's see. How old
you got,
is...
You got many more.
How old is John
Not many more.
Fidelli? Your birthday Chuggers. Is coming up very shortly, is it not?
Yeah.
Is it the 20th?
Or did it pass?
What was the 26th.
Yeah. Then it passed.
My birthday has passed. Yes, Aaron.
Happy belated birthday, John.
Still not late.
William, your birthday is coming up in 2-3 days.
Tomorrow.
July 2nd.
And then
2nd.
From the studio.
Happy birthday.
Justin Wingenfeld. When's he?
Hey.
July 3rd. No.
No, that's Jeff.
Jeff, July 3rd.
Wow.
Gordon, July 4th.
Whoa.
What the hell?
And what day is Wingenfeld?
I think he's in June.
I thought the...
The screen...
Really? He's in July?
Screen
I thought he was in June.
Is he a June?
I thought so.
How about Jeff?
We'll have to ask him when his birthday is.
Jeff who? What show?
Wow. We're going to have a pizza party.
That's
yeah.
We're going to have a big pizza party.
A big pizza party
you
right
hear that,
now.
Chris LaMartina? Get in your car.
What is Chris LaMartina's birthday?
No, he just likes to come to the office.
He just likes pizza parties.
Yeah.
Okay, well, come on down.
Show. Who doesn't?
This is a really fun show. On this show...
What show?
The guy... you know, there's a documentary going on called... called,
what's that about?
I want to say I'm just I was going to say please you know be kind rewind. That's not the name of the documentary.
That's the name of a Jack Black
your,
movie.
Adjust your tracking.
Oh,
I saw Be Kind Rewind.
Yeah,
it was okay.
Most Deaf and Jack Black.
Yeah, it was all goody two shoe.
Yeah.
Two Shoe.
Goody Two Shoe.
Goody.
It's like a family movie.
Is it?
Yeah. So adjust your tracking. It's a VHS, a documentary about VHS. Those guys stop by. Dan from VHS Shitfest.
Shitfest.
And Matt from Horror Boobs. They were here.
Wow.
Matt sat right there.
Their parents must be very proud.
Yes, and we're going to be hearing from them. And
they sat right here.
Yep.
Where was I?
Our good friend Gene.
Are they on my lap?
Gene from Third Eye Cinema. He recorded a piece for the AC podcast about Al Adamson.
Ooh. That should be fun.
Did you bring is it a 45 that I see of maybe?
There's all sorts of stuff over here.
Satan Sadists 45?
No, it's a different 45. I have a 45 RPM Wreck-It that goes with the motion picture VHS mold.
Wow. It comes with a 45?
It comes with a anti-mold like
kit. I thought that was a pad for a second.
And it has a VHS tape.
And
it has a beautiful cover.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a really awesome cover.
That's fun.
And has a 45 RPM Wreck-It.
No way.
How does that go? Oh, they send that later?
The theme song?
It says Beware the Mold.
No way. Like Beware the Blob.
And the flip side is Night Business.
Whoa. Night Business.
Who's the
artist?
It's
kind of heavy. Feel that.
This is the real deal.
That's real deal, right?
That's good stuff.
This is not a 45 RPM that you cut out of the back of a
cereal box.
Yeah. Cereal. You ever have those?
Yes, oh, yeah. I have one.
Yeah, they warp instantly.
Yeah. Yeah. It asked you to put pennies on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have all that, and we're going to be talking about it when we come back. Yeah, so let's take a quick break.
This program is brought to you by Alternative Cinema, your online source for independent DVDs and video dedicated to the enjoyment of independent and underground movies that range from the brilliant to the bizarre and everything in between. AlternativeCinema.com.
Hey, we're back.
Hey.
Hi.
Yeah, there's too much cool stuff going on here. I don't even know where to begin. We can start with letters.
Let's start there.
Letters.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
I bet you could sing great.
You guys ever duo? Duet?
Yes.
Oh.
My butt. Your butt. My butt. Our butt.
What is that right?
You wait for me.
Yeah, you ready? Wait. My butt.
My butt.
We have to put that together.
We'll get it together after the next
version
break.
Of Jolene, but it's about
our butts.
Great.
I think you guys should come down to the Smooth Sailors rehearsal space on Tuesday.
Yeah,
later. Rock and roll.
We'll work that one out.
Oh, they're a good bunch of guys, and we'll do a song.
I can't hear you. Nobody can hear anything anybody else is doing. So.
Oh, that's perfect.
If you're bashful, you fit right in.
It'll be really fun.
Nobody can hear anything but the drums.
That's usually the way it is.
Here's, we got some letters this month.
Letters?
Here's the letters.
Yeah. All right.
This one says, I am an orphan. God be with you.
What?
Really?
It says, I am Miss Adele Gassamo Ali, an orphan, tall, slim, fair, and very good looking girl.
What the hell is this?
This was in the AC mailbox.
No.
I'm intrigued.
And a good-looking girl that loves traveling and dancing, a student that loves to be loved. Kindly, I am compelled to contact you via this medium for obvious reasons, which you understand when we discuss details of my proposition.
Do tell.
Did you get a virus from this email?
Please, I would like you to reply through my email so we will know each other very well. Miss Adele Gassama Ali.
Oh, you've been visiting porn sites?
No.
She wants us to adopt
This sounds like an email that you get when you visit too many porn sites.
Yeah, this isn't real.
People trying to solicit you.
Okay, this is from Pablo Papano.
I'll keep that one. Let me have that one.
Pablo Papano says, I apologize for any inconvenience you may have received. Spam emails from this address as my account has been hacked.
from this Ali?
No, this is Pablo Papano.
Pablo Papano.
Please be advised that I'm no longer be using Pablo Papano at bcsc.global.net.
Blah, blah.
And remove it from your contact.
All right, Pablo.
Thank you.
Poor guy.
That's very nice. That was courteous.
Yeah. Hey, this is from Dave Northrup.
Hey, Dave. Mm.
He says, listening to the AC podcast right now, Bill is talking about Horror Express Blu-ray.
Mm.
He says...
Yeah, I didn't get a copy of that.
He says, it is a great disc, but doesn't mention that the title sequence at the head is in Spanish and not English.
Yeah, I guess it is. I think there may be an alternate title, but I'm not sure.
It also seems to be chopped a little at the head. The film just starts with a train speeding by, whereas other versions I've seen have more of an intro or a different intro, maybe longer, maybe two. just picking nits,
that's
Dave.
That's good, though, Dave. No, awesome. That's
good to know.
P.S. And yes, it does need more color correction.
See, I wish Dave would have color corrected it.
Dave Northrup, senior colorist.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Deluxe Media Services.
At least I was right on that.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Well, it sounds like you got effed on your version of the Horror Express.
Oh. We carry it, though.
I know. You didn't make it, did you?
No, I wish I did.
You knew Telly Savalas?
Just found your podcast via Dane's Facebook feed. Oh, this is for FPP. But it says, let me first mention that I was in the band The Gwens with John Fedeli before the dissolve.
Oh, dear.
And reform of the Pink Delicates. I played bass. Although I haven't seen John in years, if he still lives in Montclair, he lives right up the road from me. I now live in Bloomfield. Tell John hi. Steve.
Oh, no kidding, Steve.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Steve is awesome.
I thought it was going to be someone who like,
what
get
musician
a fist fight
was
with.
Mr. Steve? He was a
he
bass player.
He was a bass player before we got the guy that we ended up using a lot, Mike Santoro. And Steve went on to, he had a record company and he was in a bunch of bands, a very talented guy.
Crazy.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Okay, some dude from. Named Mark Groves apparently is starting a podcast called Macabre Hill.
Yeah, he called the other day.
He did?
Yeah.
On the phone?
Yes.
No, through the air. Boy!
Thing about the fast food.
Yeah, he thought the fast food was very funny. Yeah, that we digress from we're an alternative cinema podcast.
Yeah, he wanted to know why we were talking about fast
for
food.
For 20 minutes talking about tacos.
He says he enjoyed the reviews. This is from Paige. He said he enjoyed the reviews and thought that our show was very disorganized, freeform. I.e., how a show on alternative cinema may digress on a topic of tacos for over 20 minutes. This is from Paige telling us about this guy, Mark.
Yes.
Wow.
Does he like that or dislike that?
I don't know. I think he likes it.
I hope so.
Mark thinks it's fun.
Okay, I hope so.
Sometimes I'll just quickly tune into other podcasts. I'll just get depressed and think about why am I even doing this podcast because I don't know how I give you guys a lot of credit. How do you do it?
Do what?
Listen.
To this podcast?
Listeners? Any podcast.
I don't listen to any other podcast.
No?
Why? Other podcasts are very droll and dry.
I just don't get it. I don't know. I like Vin Scalzo.
He has a podcast?
No, I liked his radio show.
He's on FUV.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know Vin Scalzo?
No.
Idiot's Delight.
Yeah, that's what I like.
He's a very eclectic DJ. Played a lot of stuff.
This is from Dan, who's going to be, you know, on our rolling later on. Dan wrote us a letter simultaneously when he was planning on coming down to the studio to interview me for his documentary, which I'm very thrilled he did.
Oh, great.
Hey, I'm interested in the VHS segment. I'm currently in production on a documentary on the current VHS culture boom and VHS collectors called Adjust Your Tracking.
Mm.
Wow.
I also run a website called VHS Shitfest. It's actually VHS Hitfest.
Oh, really?
Or VH Shitfest.
I see.
But your eye just fools you. He reviews movies exclusively on VHS. I would love to come on, which he did. Great. I'm getting into releasing movies. He's going to be releasing Scream Queens by Donald Farmer on VHS.
Wow.
Yeah.
When was that made?
Probably in the 80s or early 90s.
Is that where the phrase Scream Queens came
Doubt
from?
Doubt it. No, Scream Queens is old.
Where'd that come from, though?
Faye Ray?
Really?
That old?
I think
that
so.
That long? Wow.
Ooh, I found the track list.
Yeah.
Ooh, isn't that lovely?
Hello, Mrs. Smoker.
That's related to...
Yes. Cool.
This is from Michael Costa. He says, I really enjoyed your VHS memory segment in the June podcast. I have a few of my own to share, and it's funny how some of you of what you discuss parallels my own experience around the same time, give or take a few years.
Weird.
In 1979 and 1980, nobody in our neighborhood had a VCR yet, but we did have Chicago's version of over-the-air subscription TV, which was called On TV, and their competitor, Spectrum, which aired on the UHF 66.
My house didn't subscribe to either, but I could stare at the scrambled signal for hours, praying to get a glimpse of TNA. I was in junior high and lots to discover back then. And also, similar to what William and John mentioned, I would put an audio cassette recorder up to the TV speaker to record our local horror film host, Son of Svengoolie.
Wow. Oh, I remember that guy. I saw that documentary.
Oh, it's on the Netflix.
Remember I talked to you, American Movie, or what American was it called?
American Scary,
yeah.
He listened to the tapes during the week after he recorded them on a Saturday night.
Absolutely.
That guy was pretty silly, Svengali.
Finally, in 81, two of my friends got VCRs in their homes. One had a Sony Betamax, the other a VHS. The Betamax house was into horror, so they owned probably, for $60 each back then, movies like Motel Hell, Phantasm.
Hey, that was shot. Hell was shot in my hometown, Moorpark.
Yeah, Moorpark.
Really? That's cool.
Really?
Really.
Did you know about, like, when it was being shot?
No, because I was...
just born.
I was, like, just a baby.
Just a child.
I was just a little mite.
The Betamax house also had Friday the 13th and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Nice.
Wow.
They were, like, forbidden fruit, stuff I wasn't supposed to see, and it was thrilling.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how it's like that?
Yeah, you're not supposed to see that when you're, like,
so
12
cool
or 13.
It's so cool to have that on beta.
It's so bad, but so right.
Even more thrilling was watching movies at the VHS house. They were the family that acquired lots of just-fell-off-the-truck items. And keeping with that theme, they also had a bootlegs copies of Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
Wow, bootlegs.
Ooh,
back in the day, huh?
Back then.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And a poorly hidden porn collection that we would watch after school.
Nice.
Your friend that's in one of your bands has a poorly hidden porn collection.
Yes.
Oh, my God. His friend, Nunavet, doesn't listen to this podcast. Does he listen?
You shouldn't say
no. I'll scramble this. He's like, oh, yeah, I got all... He goes, and it's like it's just a little door under
it's right there. Yeah.
And in a box that's right there. He has boys in the house.
Kids walk by there like 100 times a day.
They're like 13, right?
Maybe not quite that
old.
13 and like
is.
Maybe 12 and 8 or 10. I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, what he had in there was no like horrible stuff. Our stuff.
They could probably witness more bad shit on the internet, and I think they have at this point.
Yeah.
The first one we saw was called Robin's Nest, and I remember being amazed that there wasn't a scrambled signal. People were clearly doing it right on the TV.
That's. The wide-eyed fascination of a... How old is he?
He didn't say. Oh. He said back in the day. When DVD finally ramped up in the early 00s, I embraced it fully. It's a superior audio-visual experience, non-linear, and I'm a big fan of audio commentaries, interviews, and extras. I think the nostalgia about VHS today is tied to being a revolutionary consumer product that connected people with similar interests on a grand scale, during a pretty fun time, the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
As an actual medium to watch, the picture quality, or to store visual memorabilia, is obsolete. For kids today who weren't around when VHS was king, I understand the appeal, because that's a physicality to it that doesn't exist in the generation's products.
It's true.
Yeah,
they're watching VHS to do a bit of time travel, to see what it would be like to view a movie at a home in the 80s or 90s. That's why your inclusion of the VHS version of The Basement in the big box is so brilliant. You're physically framing the context of when the film was made to enhance that time travel, but also offering a DVD version for those who want the best picture, sound, and all the extras. Thanks, Michael Costa.
Very eloquently put.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Well done, Michael. Well done.
I would like to have more letters like that. That's fantastic.
Oh, yes. Podcast at alternativecinema.com. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. What we get.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hey, Bill.
I got some stuff from our listeners that I said I finally would get into.
You're kidding.
Talk about. So,
what do you got?
I got some good stuff. Is that enough? Do you have all that? Was that all the letters?
Those are the letters,
okay.
Yeah.
I got some interesting things here, kids. And
so these are movies that listeners said you have to see, and they sent you copies for you to
Weed
see?
Yeah, remember Weed Wolf?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this here is Emily Yukas.
She's not a listener. She's Jimmy's girlfriend.
But she gave us this film to talk about on her podcast.
Can I see that? I must see that.
She's a listener.
Looks like a Carl
Pinchy
production.
Jimmy gave it to us, not her.
A Walt Gollinger production.
You can get it from his website.
Oh, my God. Wow, look at this.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
She's perfect for him. They're both
Yeah, so everybody out here knows Jimmy Screamer Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he ended up dating another animator, another wacky, crazy animator, which is just, that's pretty bizarre. Anyway, Emily Yukis, the Alfred mixtape DVD is available to purchase through Screamer Claws' website, screamerclaws.com.
Oh, my God.
You can find it in the link section. It's a crazy, there's like, I think there's about 15 cartoons. They're all a few minutes long, really wacky things. They end with a punk rock music video of a dog masturbating. And the song is called I Wanna Fuck Myself. It's amazing.
I like
it's
that
song. Really hilarious. Yeah, it's really, really good. And then she has the her own show, which is another part of the DVD, which is a lot like what Tim and Eric's awesome show wants to be, but this is really the real deal.
Oh, really?
Deal.
Oh, well, that's hilarious. A bold statement.
It is. This is hilarious stuff. It's really great. We were very blown away by it. The other piece, we've had this for a while. This is Uncle Tad's Baker's Loon Show, the movie Trial by Tomato. A performance art group was filmed doing their spoken words, and they let the audience have tomatoes, so they get hit with tomatoes. And they have like homosexual performance art with big penises and lubed butts and jock straps and... It's very funny, but it's also extremely obnoxious, and lots of people getting pelted by tomatoes.
So when audience members have had enough, they let them know by throwing them tomatoes, or are people just being wise asses?
And they just they're wise asses. I mean, like, people are just like get up there and start talking and get whacked in the mouth of the tomato. Like, it's nuts. It's a lot of fun. You can look for it on the internet. This is what I really wanted to get to, and I'm very excited about, is Blood Rape. Paige Davis gave this to me.
I remember that.
I told my Christian coworker about that, and he was like, "Oh, that's nice."
Yeah.
Christian who?
My Christian coworker. He's Christian, like hardcore Christian.
Christian people
probably went to.
My friend Jeff, he's into horror, and he asked, "Oh, did you watch anything last night?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I watched Blood Rape." And then my Christian coworker was like, "Oh, that's nice."
And then he went into the bathroom and threw up.
Tucker Bennett, Tara Monnen, and Zach Shapiro.
Sharona.
I'm sorry. I like slaughtered your name. But here's the Blood Rape. Picture. Now, you guys remember Chris the Vampire 2, Teenage Girl.
Of course.
I love that movie.
I can see images in my mind of it right now.
Do you remember Eric's movie? Eric's kind of remake of it?
How can I forget?
Yeah, right. That has not yet been released, but that kind of humor.
I never saw that.
Like hipster, funny humor. This is like a young version of those movies, and I really couldn't believe it. It's a little uneven, and sure, it's very low budget. Paige was, said, guys, it's really low budget. I don't know if we could distribute it or not, but take a look at it. It was very entertaining. We watched it last night.
I thought it was entertaining.
Hilarious. Unfortunately, the only boobs are grandma's, but it's
God, so gross.
Oh,
you're going to be like those little kids hassle the grandma.
She's aged very well.
How old is the woman in it?
She'll get $500,000.
Yeah.
How old is the woman in it?
She's a grandma. An old grandma.
She keeps
showing her boobs because it's grandpa's birthday and they're trying to eat dinner.
You're so cute. Ugh. Not that old. But
is it the filmmaker's grandmother?
It's probably. Oh, it's pretty awesome.
No,
it's
hope not.
Crazy old homeless lady.
That's not his mother.
I hope it is.
Anyway,
can it be on horror boobs?
It could be.
Oh, hell no.
It's about this punk rock girl vampire band that is going on a... reunion tour, some shit, and they're vampires, so after they play, they then attack the audience and have, like, a blood orgy, and they keep doing this. They're in, like a basement, you know, kind of garage rock band where they end up in people's living rooms and touring that way, and attack all the young hipster kids that are in the, in the house. It's really funny. It's really, it's off the wall. There's a lot of really wacky bits. There's fun music, cool psychedelic stuff, really
sound effects.
Sound effects, blood sucking sound effects.
Yeah, I didn't really care for those. I thought those were kind of.
They were too out front.
Yeah, no, yeah, it didn't work for me.
And there's a lot of unevenness where, like, you know, some of the acting is absolutely horrible and some of the things aren't funny, but at the same time, that makes it even more funny because it just kind of
gives it some kind of like kitsch factor.
Very kitschy, and it has that, I guess, modern, I don't know, what would you say, like quirkiness to it that I guess we're seeing a modern television and cinema and kind of emo quirkiness to it.
Emo quirkiness.
But it's fun. I think you don't know what I mean. Like, what's that real kind of mousy guy that they always make fun of on Saturday Night Live that's in like all those quirky teenage movies?
Steve Carell? The one from
Young
Juno?
Guy. Yeah, the guy from Juno.
Oh, that actor?
Yeah.
He's on Saturday Night Live?
No, they make fun of him.
Oh,
I forgot his name.
Yeah, I know his name.
I don't kind know of talks like really
no, no, it's cool. He was in Superbad, too.
He has that kind of, I'm going to sound old. The blood rape kids are going to think I'm old because I can't really describe it. But it's got that attitude.
I got you.
So
I got you.
The kids are stoners that they...
Yeah, they're all smoking pot.
So it's like shot on DVD?
Handheld? There's a lot of handheld. There's some of it looks pretty nice, and then some of it's real, like camcorder-ish, like a lot of the rock and roll
stuff. Like really bad.
Well, who cares?
It's a little rough. Some of the outdoor nighttime.
But it all works.
But it's a lot of fun, and it's on YouTube. So go to YouTube, and you can watch Blood Rape tonight.
Boobs and all?
Yeah, right
Grandma
now.
Grandma Boobs and all.
You can go see it right now.
Go there. Go do it.
Okay. Blood Rape, YouTube,
next. So thanks for sending in your submissions. We definitely want more. So if you want us to mention your crappy movies... Send them on to alternative.
But are
cinema.
You ever, if you ever watch oh, one of man, these and you really cold. Don't like it, are you going to be You're truthful or are you movies. Just going to accentuate the positive?
Yeah.
Well, it's like a DIY movie. It's like, you know, it's. I don't think a movie called Blood Rape that he's trying to think, you know, be serious about it. Do you?
No, but I'm just saying, if somebody sends in a movie that's just so god awful.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. I'll tell him it sucks.
Okay,
you
I
know?
Hope so.
I mean, it's the Loon Show, the Uncle Loon Show, people getting hit by tomatoes. So, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. It's probably a lot more fun in person. Blood Rape is pretty cool.
Cool.
Kids.
Yeah, I liked it.
Hey, since we're talking about VHS and...
Since we're talking about blood and rape...
And the VHS Shitfest guys are here, why don't we... We're going to roll in their segment.
All right,
yeah, let's
it.
Listen to those guys.
Let's go to the videotape.
I'm here with Matt and Dan, and these guys are... I want to say you the VHS guys.
Yeah. I would say so.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to try to break it down for our listeners. Matt, you're hard boobs...
Correct.
And Dan, you're a VHS Shitfest, which is actually VHS Hitfest, but no one knows that.
Well, no, VH Shitfest.
Oh, VH Shitfest.
Yeah.
Okay.
But people always get confused.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything works.
Matt, how did the horror boobs come up?
Horror boobs came up because me and my girlfriend and a bunch of my friends would get together, and we would watch movies on Wednesdays, and we would just... watch out VHS tapes or, you know, rare movies we found. And we wanted to do something with it. And we just went for the lowest common denominator base appeal.
Like for fun.
For fun, yeah. And we just decided to, you know, we kept getting together. We wanted to do something. And the idea was just, why don't we just create a site of nude photos from horror movies?
What's the reaction been?
Great. Surprisingly, it's opened up more doors than I would have believed. I've met a lot of great people through it, like Dan. You know, it's given me a platform to be like, hey, I'm Matt from Horror Boobs, the website with the naked women.
So, Dan, you called Matt because of Horror Boobs? That's how you guys met?
We met on accident because I posted an ad on Craigslist for VHS, and I was in New York City, and only one person responded, and it was him. And we never met up to, like, trade VHS or anything. It, like, didn't work out. But then later on, I think we just met each other through VHS and through the website, like, and Tumblr.
Facebook, et cetera.
And Facebook.
And then realize, oh, hey, we were those people that were talking to each other.
Yeah.
Like-minded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, did Mr. Skin call you up?
Like, oh, man, what are you guys doing?
No, they didn't. They just posted a thing about us, and it was just like, my friend Matt from Troma called me up and was like, hey, did you see this Mr. Skin review? And I was like, what are you talking about? And just logged on and saw, and that was really awesome of them because theoretically that's competition in a way. Not like I'm looking at a competition, but why would a pay nudie site want to advertise a free one?
Right. I would guess that people visit Horror Boobs every day.
It's really awesome how many people have come up to me and said, hey, I like your site and I check it often. And for me, it's just so weird because, I mean, it wasn't so much meant for that. It was just like we wanted to do something. And the fact that people responded to it is amazing to me.
Now, two questions. Do you put new boobs up daily? And have you run out of boobs yet?
You can never run out of boobs for genre cinema. I mean,
right.
That's, I think we all know that. But and they're making movies every day. It's not limited to any time frame, you know. We try to put up as many boobs as possible.
Right.
I don't think we do it every day, but we get a lot up there. You don't want to bombard people with breasts all the time. Yeah. You got to, you know, so savor some of the good ones.
And you catching any shit for doing this from other people? Like,
oh, man, we never knew you like into, like, you know, porn shit.
Believe it or not, no, I'm really open and honest about it. Everybody seems really cool. I think, like, you know, it took my dad, like, a few times to remember the name, but right. he kept saying, like, horror tits and horror breasts and all
right,
these
right,
things.
Right.
But everybody that's really into it, like, you know, I've never shied from it. I'm very open and honest that it is theoretically horror porn.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's
not real porno. It's
digestible by the masses.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it's just taking the best parts. Everybody just, you know, yeah. you rent a video from the video store and you know you put it in and it's right at that nude
yeah.
scene.
Static.
It's what people were doing. Yeah. Yeah, static over the nude yeah. scene. You know, hey, they rewinded it and watched it a bunch of times.
You talk to a guy who, like, from 1976 through the early 80s, you go to the movies, even PG movies had boobs. Logan's Run, you know, all the early 80s movies. I don't know what happened to this country. I don't know why there aren't more boobs in movies. But there should be. So, anyhow.
Agreed.
Yeah.
They're harmless.
Yeah. Now, Dan, I've seen your website. I've seen you, like, some YouTube videos. Like, you have a sidekick who's not here, right?
Right. Yeah, Tim.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys, like, you know, roommates and shit?
Yeah, we are roommates. When we started it, we weren't living together, but then, like, I mean, it just became easier to get it all done and right. live together.
Now, for those of you listening, I'm not exactly a clean-cut guy myself, but these not clean-cut guys, Dan, you really look like you can hang out with Sean Penn in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Like, you could be right in that burger scene with them.
I'll take that as a compliment.
I have a Nicolette. You know, yeah. you know,
maybe, like, I should take my shoes and shirt off, yeah. you know? That'd be great.
So, I mean,
casual.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that is because you're into VHS and your site is VH Shitfest.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the golden era, 82, all those movies?
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, first shot on video movie, 82, and, like, so many great horror movies came out then. I mean, 80s, perfect period.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you start the site just, and your site is called VHSHITFEST.com.
Right.
VHShitFest.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or VHSHitFest.com.
Yeah.
When did you start that?
A couple years ago we started it, and basically the other person who runs the site, Tim, he was anti-DVD for a while, and he just brought out, like, 5 VHS and a VCR to his dorm room at college.
Oh, okay.
And it was, like, movies like Creepazoids and stuff
okay,
like
sure,
that.
Okay, sure, sure.
And one day we were just like, all right, let's watch Creepazoids, and it was so bad, we were just like, we really need to start a website, like, strictly for movies that are on VHS or that we watch on VHS and either uncover some gems or trash some really bad movies. And,
yeah.
I mean, it just went on from there. We started making videos and stuff like that, so...
I'm assuming Tim has no interest in watching DVDs.
I mean, he does watch DVDs, but, I mean, not very frequently. So most of the movies he watches are on VHS.
Now, were you guys involved with this recent convention that was at the Sherman Theater in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
We were both there.
Yeah, both of us sponsored the event. And yeah,
sponsors, true.
Yeah.
And tables.
Yeah, and we both had tables there. So.
Right. I mean, you guys, I'm telling you, there's a little something going on. I would call it a small movement because you got, like, you know, the theater thing, and you got that dude Earl
mm-hmm.
doing that. And then I met Josh recently, and I'm just trying to keep track of it all. You know, because you guys aren't one big unit. It's not like you have, like, rented an old firehouse and it's like the VHS firehouse and you all bunk together.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call us a cult.
Yes, absolutely. But it seems to me, like, Dan, with your pal Tim, that if it was up to him, VHS would be released again. And that seems to be the general push in the sense that a lot of filmmakers, especially with that recent convention in Pennsylvania, there seem to be new movies coming out on VHS. I think of...
Turnpike Killer.
Yeah.
I think of Victor Bonacore putting out Tina Krause's movie Limbo on VHS with his... He has a new label.
Mountain Oddities.
Yeah, Mountain Oddities.
Victor Bonacore.
There's something going on here. Just a few minutes ago, before we started taping this segment, these guys interviewed me for what I guess is going to become a documentary you guys are working on. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, is all the whole collective sort of involved in the documentary, or is it just you guys?
Well, we're trying to get as many people from the collective's community involved in some way, whether it's just being interviewed or... you know, like Josh is helping out, getting us hooking up some interviews and whatnot. I mean, if anyone out there in the VHS community wants to help out, we're not shy. We need help.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And what is, who is Josh? Tell us about Josh.
Josh is Josh Schaefer, who is the publisher of Lunch Meat Magazine.
That's right. Lunch Meat Magazine.
Yeah. Editor and publisher-in-chief and all-around groovy guy.
Okay. Into VHS.
That he is. Yeah. I mean, he is... Josh is one of the reasons I was very shy towards internet and things like that for a long time. But when I heard of Josh's magazine, I thought that was amazing because, forget about it. I mean, I read every horror magazine that comes out. I read Fango and Rumorgue and Horror Hound and Scream and Video Watchdog, every single one, man. The fact that somebody was publishing an all VHS magazine, it was just felt so good because I was like, hey, there's more people like me out there who are totally obsessed with this medium.
And you guys, I would imagine, are kind of finding each other. Like when you guy have a guy like Earl Kessler who has works with that theater and decides, I'm assuming he put that show together?
Oh, yeah.
One of the guys. So you guys are kind of like-minded, so you'll meet him and then... Somehow you'll meet like Louis Justin, the 5-5. I call him the 5-5-5 guy.
He is.
Like you'll meet the 5-5-5 guy, and like then all of a sudden you just find out, like, you know,
man, this guy's totally into VHS, and
you know he has an amazing collection. Like you're finding it's almost like there's been a zombie apocalypse, and the whole world is zombies, and any left humans are the VHS fans. So you're making your journey, watching
all those VHS zombie movies.
So you're, you know, slowly starting to find other like-minded people who are into VHS.
Yeah, it's awesome. Earl did more than just that convention. I mean, he started the VHS collectors, horror VHS collectors
Unite
Facebook group. See, I mean, that was something, like, I don't even have a computer in my, I don't even own one, but, like, I use my girlfriend's computer and Facebook to go on to
You don't have a computer.
I don't even own a computer.
Dude, you're hardcore.
I guess. I just never had one, so I just stuck with it.
Do you have a cell phone?
I do, and it's embarrassing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like...
It's just a phone.
It's a brick.
It might as well be a Zach Morris.
Yeah.
Okay, now what's going on in Brooklyn? There's some, like, a VHS gathering going on in Brooklyn as well. What's happening there?
Well, I was hosting events at a place called Nighthawk Cinema.
Yes. We've been talking about it on the show.
We did one with Camp for the basement. We had Gary come out. It was a blast. And that was, like, November.
Yep.
But we did 9 months of VHS parties or screenings or whatever you would want to call them, or trading and swapping. Everything VHS-related went on at these things. We showed movies and trailers and had special guests come out. You know, we had Joel Reed and Gary Cohen and, you know, whoever we can get.
Girls show up,
believe it or not.
Okay.
I mean, I bring my girlfriend, and I always have my girlfriend with me. Her name is Katrina, and she does the website with me. She gets full credit, Katrina Basilio. And she's great because it makes me look not like a total pervert.
Right, absolutely.
We did live events at Nighthawk. We also do midnight screenings at Spectacle. And actually, on July 6th, I'm going to be screening Tales from the Quad Dead Zone at the Museum of Arts and Design as part of the VHS series. That's a whole nother wild thing, like, you know, a real government-funded museum.
How do you guys sleep? I mean, Bloomberg, like, so much excitement going on. There's so much excitement going on. Like, how do you sleep? Like,
we don't. That's the thing.
So tell me about the museum.
The Museum of Arts and Design, a government-funded museum. Michael Bloomberg has his money in this museum, and they are decided to do a VHS series and contacted me for help. And I, you know, told them, you know, we've been working together, and all through June, July, and August, we're doing various VHS screenings, classes, lectures, and in August we're opening up a real video store in the museum.
Wow.
But Tales from the Quad Dead Zone on the 6th, Chester Turner's amazing shot on video anthology horror film. It is a sight to be seen. Same director as Black Devil Doll from Hell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that a VHS release?
That was a VHS release. Those have only been on VHS.
Yeah.
Wow. I have to say, I'm sitting here like almost like dumbfounded. Like I'm trying to like absorb all this information. Like it's unbelievable, actually.
I think the fact that there's so few of us out there, it's really left a lot of the weight on our shoulders to keep pushing at it and getting the word out there that we are out there. We are. This is a movement, and other people, we want you to connect with us.
I mean, is this something that you think is going to last for a while, or I mean, like, where do you think it's going?
I think it'll last forever amongst us because it never left us,
right.
Or we've always. I mean, I know Dan's different. Dan, you are more of a new appreciator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I first started getting into it and didn't know there was anyone else out there who collected VHS. I thought I'd just be able to go into stores and like get them for free, basically, and then. Like, I found, like, on the Facebook group that there was a bunch of people, and, like, even people had come to my city already to buy VHS, so... And then I just started talking to people. I mean, there's, a pretty large number of people all across the country, and, I mean, in the world, like, people from other countries are buying, like, U.S. tapes. Like, it's a great community of people.
Are there quests to find existing mom-pop stores? I mean, there might be a handful.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you find them?
Call... Every phone number we find. I've called, you know, when you get find a rental tape and on the side it has like the little silver label.
I've
called those numbers on the sides of the tapes looking for stores.
Did you find any?
I have. Yeah. I have. And sometimes, or you'll just Google the name and you'll find where they moved to or their new location. Or, you know, we've found, I mean, even though Dan and I live so far away from each other, he's from Erie and I'm from New York. I mean, we've joined forces to do hunts, you know,
and
we've found some great places, even in your backyard right here in New Jersey.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. We've found some killer stuff out here.
Oh, is that right?
Earlier today, like, I was trying to call some places, find some video stores, and I called one place, like, that I found on Google, and I, like, asked him if they sell VHS tapes. He's like, no, but we sell pizza. Like, I mean, the business had been shut down for years, and, like, now it's a pizza place, and... Like, I mean, I'm always on the lookout for new places. And
did you ask them if they could just check the basement in case there was any leftover stuff?
I should have. I should have. Yeah.
What's the last, gold you guys found?
Ooh. I mean, I think there's a lot of great gold amongst us collectors. And I think connecting with collectors is really cool because some guy somewhere might find something you really want that he doesn't care about.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we trade out tapes amongst ourselves. But that's really awesome thing I found in person. I mean, I've been having really great luck at the flea markets in New York lately, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, just fine. There's a guy that I have just gotten tons of big boxes from recently. A lot of great wild kung fu stuff.
Do you keep it to yourself?
No, secret? No. I love to spread the wealth, man.
Hey, we're going there.
Yeah. See, he's not.
Is this the collector or an old store?
No, this is a flea market, man.
Oh,
this
flea
is a
market,
guy
yeah.
who just must have bought out. That's the thing. Flea markets, too, it's weird that the connection that these people have because flea market people sometimes just buy stuff expecting it to sell or to have stuff to sell, not knowing anything about it.
Yeah.
Or they get them in estate sales or something like that. I mean, they just want rid of what they have and, like, then we come in, buy it up.
Are you guys experts at, like, you find a tape and the tape's not working of, you know, taking the tape out and putting it in a new shell, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I worked at video stores in the late 90s into the early 2000s, and that was something we had to do.
Yeah.
So, now, to be completely honest, now I kind of dread it because it was once part of my job.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I know how to do it if I have to.
Wow.
I'm not going to make the effort to fix a Leatherface tape, but I'm going to, if it's something important, I would.
So, where are the hot spots online for our listeners to go? Like, where should they go to just figure out what's going on?
Endless amounts of places.
Yeah.
Dan's site, VHS Shift Fest, Lunch Meat has a site.
Right.
I would definitely, as far as like, the thing is, go to VHS, VHS Collectors Unite. I mean, we're all on there. We're all talking. We constantly are taking pictures of what we found all day and showing it to each other and trying to make each other jealous, I guess. I don't even know. A couple weeks ago, I was walking down my block on my way to work and I found a stack of like classic, like 1980, 1981 big box pornos with like John Holmes, Seika, Vanessa Del Rio. And it's like, they were good condition, like they were cared for. And what went through my mind is like, first, let me grab all these and get the hell out of here. But how did those just end up on the street? Did the guy in the building die and they just put everything out there?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like a very good possibility.
I'd say good 75%.
Yeah.
Or a guy moved.
Or
Yeah, he died, and his wife cleaned out his shit.
Or he stopped paying his rent and left, and they had to dump the stuff. Yeah.
Or his wife found his porn collection and got mad, put this on the curb. Yeah.
But you can't think about the stuff because you guys go mad.
We do, actually, all the time.
Yeah.
We can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
And that's why we're mad.
Yeah. Wow. Well, look, we should keep in touch.
Yeah.
Because we do the podcast every month. And as you know, we've been reading news when you guys have events.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Which is cool. But now that you've been here and, feel free to drop a line. Let us know what's going on. Hopefully you guys will come back. What is your goal with the documentary? When do you think, what is your goal to get it done?
We're looking like a December or January release. And, I mean, of course, we want to release it on VHS.
Of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, go to Facebook, like Adjust Your Tracking on there. And, I mean, we'll post updates and whatnot. So,
right.
Yeah, you can catch everything there. And if anyone wants to be involved or knows anyone that we should get in contact with, just message us on there, and, I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah, okay. We'll be on the road all through July.
Yeah, we're taking a round trip around the country.
Well, awesome. I want to thank you guys for stopping by. I want to thank you guys for including me in your documentary. Yeah,
thank you.
Which is awesome. And listeners, if you want to send an email, it's podcast@alternativecinema.com. You can ask just about anything. And we'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back.
Aloha. My name is Mr. Han. I have but one question for you. Can you attend my class? It is for your own good, and if you can't make it, I can make you. There will be no eating. E-A-T-I-N-G. No eating in this class. You get used to doing your own business on your own time. That's one demand I make.
Yes?
Yeah, I'm registered in this class.
What class?
This is U.S. history. See the globe right there.
Really?
Hey. May I come in?
Oh, please. I get so lonely when I hear that third attendance bell ring and all my kids are not here.
Sorry I'm late. It's just like this new schedule's totally confusing. Yeah, I know that, dude.
Mr. Spicoli.
That's the name they gave me. Hey, you're ripping my car.
Yeah.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
No problem at all. I think you know where the front office is.
You dick!
Friday the 13th, Part 3 in Super 3D. The all-new process that puts you in the picture. Whether you want to be there or not. It will scare you. Count on it. Friday the 13th, Part 3 in Super 3D. Rated R.
Now playing in Sacramento. Check newspapers for theaters and showtime.
Hey, I want to thank those guys for coming by.
Thank you.
They're pretty cool guys.
They're pretty cool guys. And I was going to ask you, John, you know, since everyone enjoyed my segment on VHS last month, and I didn't prepare my segment for this month, let me ask you for our VHS segment this month. What is your first recollection of VHS?
Recollection.
My dad recorded everything off the TV.
But when do you remember it first coming?
I didn't see my parents were divorced. What?
No, oh no,
sympathy?
I was laughing because you said coming. Sorry.
I thought you were gonna be like, oh no.
All I know it was cool because your parents were divorced.
Well, I live with my mom. Home. Yeah, broken home, broken heart. Fine now. It's okay.
Oh.
No, I live with my mom, and of course we didn't have any money. Six kids and a mom.
Damn.
So we had like black and white TV, no VHS. But then my dad, when we would go to my dad's house for the weekend or something, he had a VHS. Mm-hmm. He just had shitloads of tapes. He recorded movies off of, cable.
Recorded movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, he would record them.
Yes, recorded.
No, so we would just sit there and watch these shitty, SLP mode was the slowest one?
Yes.
Be watching all these movies with bands of
fuzz
white
and
fuzz.
And
every
day
I recorded
going
on
out.
SLP. Every day I recorded on SLP.
No
6 hours of movies. And
so
shit.
Why would you watch the tapes, not just watch TV?
Because it was like, oh, look, he has this movie. We can watch it right now.
Tapes are more fun.
Yeah.
So what
it's like
movies,
it's not on TV now.
What were the movies that you were watching that you were most interested in that you had access to? What did dad tape?
Dad tape mostly like war movies.
Okay, so like...
And history movies.
The
he was a history
one.
Teacher. Big Red One, Barry Lyndon, John Wayne movies, which are fucking horrible. Such bullshit. I hate that guy.
I hate that guy.
I do. I hate that guy. But then he would also, for us, do like Marx Brothers movies and Abbott, nice. A lot of Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, 42nd Street, Pete that. Called us the Marx Brothers, all of us.
Is did? That right? Where?
On Facebook.
Which one would the rest be?
I don't like the Marx
Brothers.
Well,
you'd Brothers. Be Groucho.
I don't
what?
Like, I don't like the Marx Brothers at all.
Stop it.
I can't take
silly.
Them.
Silly. I can't take them. No, can't. The Ritz Brothers I can't take.
I like the Ritz Brothers.
Oh, Jesus.
They're in Blazing Stewardesses.
Yes. They're hilarious, aren't they?
No, they're very
they're
old.
Terrible. They're doing the same shticks, though, in that movie that they were doing 30 years
did you know
ago
that?
In Hollywood. Probably.
The hitchhiking thing, the big sandwich thing.
Probably. Did that they dad, did on vaudeville.
Did your dad have any porn?
No, he still had mags at that time. Oh. It was all Playboy
so
and Penthouse.
Kids, two are watching VHS tapes.
Two are masturbating in the closet with porn mags. And the other two are girls.
Would
so
all
were,
the kids visit your dad at once?
No.
Oh, be make...
Yeah, it would be different.
Mix and match.
Yeah. I don't. Six kids for a single dad. Sorry, Bill. Would be way
would
too much.
Would the mix and match change, or would it be like always? Oh yeah.
Yeah, depends on who's around. That's
pretty
much.
By the time I met
it.
You were living with your dad.
Yes, I was.
What happened then?
What do you mean? I got married.
No. I mean, you were. Weren't you living
when with I moved in with my dad?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
A few
what
of the
happened
boys
then?
Moved in with dad.
Yeah, it was me, my brother Mark, and my brother Joey.
Oh,
and
okay.
The
you
VCA,
guys almost had the Ramones there.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, right.
The I girl was still with mom?
No, one girl had moved out.
That's right.
And the other girl was with mom.
Okay. It was around the block from you,
yeah, this
Bill.
Is all fucking fantastically interesting.
I know,
it
went from VHS to
oh,
John's family
John's life.
History.
I know. But by the time I moved in, the VHS collection had increased, but he never bought pre-recorded movies.
Why? Too cheap.
He just wouldn't. He would record everything off the TV. I joined like Columbia House.
Oh my God.
And got like, 20 movies free on VHS, some of which I still have not opened, I must say.
Oh, wow. Like which one?
Swear to God,
like you're in your
The Godfather, because it's always on TV. Yeah, you're never going to be like, The Godfather. Yeah. And Amadeus, I think, and some other Airplane.
Airplane.
Because they're always on TV, and you're like, Airplane,
it's
like, on
why
TV.
Do you need that?
I don't know.
Aww.
Wow.
I have it.
So I still have them in my basement unopened.
Nice. On that white shelf.
Yep. Underneath.
How do you know?
I've been in this basement. I went down there, and there's all these VHS tapes on the wall.
Why were you down in my basement?
On the white shelf.
Because we used to tape the podcast
down that's
there.
Right. Okay.
Whoa. You guys used to tape the podcast in John's basement?
For a while when he was having his children.
When he was having the...
Yeah, Dwayne was there a couple times for the other one, too, as well. Yeah.
Cool.
Let me ask you a question. What about a rental store? What is your first recollection of a VHS rental store?
Video Den.
Nice.
Up in Ringwood.
Ringwood, 85.
Yeah.
You remember walking in there?
Yeah, I walked in there and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
So you'd rent and then go to your dad's to watch it?
I would rent. Yeah, we would go up there and we'd all get to rent one movie and then we'd go back home. And I would also ask them for the posters, so I still have shitloads of posters somewhere.
Nice. I did it at my video store.
Anything. I didn't care. I'm like, well, you don't need these
posters.
Probably. Tons
you
of
look.
Them. I got to look in my attic.
So do you remember the guy, the first guy that was like the main guy at the Video Den?
No.
Do you remember him?
Really.
He had like kind of curly hair or shaggy, dark hair. He was like sort of nerdy.
No, don't you mention it, yeah. I just remember the girl never wore a bra. Blonde hair. You
for
know,
real?
Remember her?
I remember the girl at all.
I do.
I remember the
She's
nerdy
the one
guy.
That gave me all the posters.
Ooh, that's so cool. Oh, wait, the girl.
She's like short, long, blonde hair, never wore a bra, always wore like button down shirts.
She probably looked like an old person to me.
Very,
so I didn't
very
know
small, but very delicious looking boobs.
That guy, I used to, before I had a VCR, that guy used to tell me what all the movies were about because I would just sit and like slather over the horror films and like read the back of the box like every Friday. You know, like,
It's like, kid, you going to rent something?
No, he was cool. Oh, well. We talk.
Yeah,
well, that was the place to go to. We'd even sometimes, because let me see. I can't remember. Dire Straits. I don't know what I was going to say.
So tell us a little bit about your renting experience. Did you ever rent something off the fly that you'd never seen, like a horror film?
Oh, absolutely, all
like,
the time.
You ever bring home a real bomb that everybody freaked out, or something that was too violent, or? You have any good rental experience?
No, most of the VHS viewings were done, privately. Like, I'd put my movie on, nobody else would want to see it, so they'd be gone. And they put their movie on, so I
Was there any fighting for the VCR?
No.
No?
It's pretty civil.
That's good.
Because, you know, we grew up in the sticks, so there was a lot to do outside. We weren't, like, quite sucked into the technology yet.
There was fighting in my house between me and my brother.
You don't even know.
Between horror movies and the Knicks game.
God.
Why did you want to watch the Knicks, Mike? What the hell?
So your brother was into sports.
Yes, my brother's into sports, and the problem was you couldn't, back then it was so antiquated that my RCA Selectivision, if I wanted to tape, like Horror Express.
You had to watch what you were taping.
You had to have the selector on the same.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'd have to, and I'd like put in my order way in advance, like Monday, be like, Mom, Horror Express is on Friday night at 8 o'clock. I want to watch it. Okay. And then it would come Friday night, and Brutus would come in, just like push me out of the way and just change the channel.
That's bullshit. That's crazy.
And then the big fight would erupt. And then like it was like I never put my order in. You know?
Well, what would your mother say? Oh, Michael, don't start with your brother.
Somehow sports would
sometimes they just they would just. They would just power down the whole, like, just the whole
that
thing.
That was it. Yeah. Nobody's watching anything.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bummer.
That happened, like, many times. And then one day, my brother was watching the Knicks. And I walked in, and I punched him right in the face.
Awesome.
He was, like, laying down watching the Knicks. And I, like, popped him in the eye. And he got a black eye.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
So he had no idea it was coming.
No idea.
It's like, hey, what's up, dude? Oh, my eye! Oh, fuck! You're so dead!
There would always be a battle, because Friday night, there'd be, like, King Kong Escapes. Like, all sorts of really cool stuff on Friday night and Saturday.
You guys, at that point, still had only one TV.
There were multiple TVs, but the other one was in my parents' bedroom. So, you know, my brother would... We wouldn't go into my parents' bedroom to watch TV.
Not allowed.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the TV was in our room. We were lucky enough to have a color TV and the VCR in our room.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sure there's been... I'm sure that throughout the world, there's been lots of fighting over VCRs. Well, thank you, John, for your VHS memories.
Those, you should probably just eradicate those because they were fucking dismal.
No, no, no. I think people would be very interested in that. So, really, really fast, our good friend Gene at Third Eye Cinema, which is another podcast, he records segments for us. And he recorded this month's segment on Al Adamson.
Oh, this should be interesting.
Whoa. Which was another awesome movie that, you know, I would slot out that maybe I would or maybe wouldn't get to see, which was Dracula versus Frankenstein.
That's one of your favorites, isn't it?
Favorites. It was the first movie. I saw it on the cover of Famous Monsters. Do you remember that issue?
I didn't have it, but I know it, yes.
I have it somewhere. I got to bring it in. And on the cover was the psychedelic Dracula. You know, the Dracula with the fro?
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully shot. The still was probably shot by Sam Sherman.
Wow.
Because Sam shoots stills. Mm-hmm. Al Adamson, you know, sort of a king of schlock, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He's made his fair share of schlock. That's
he certainly
sure.
has.
And Sam Sherman together probably made half of the schlock in the world.
So many of these films we sell on DVD, like Mean Mother and Black Heat.
Mean Mother.
Blazing Stewardesses, Naughty Stewardesses, Nurse Sherry, and
I think it's Nurse
Five
Sherry.
Bloody Graves.
Five Bloody Graves, yep. And we probably carry, do we carry the Dracula versus Frankenstein?
Isn't that a trauma
right?
title? So I don't know if it is
know.
In the thing or not. Yeah.
No,
it's in the hopper.
You guys don't.
Yeah, I don't think it's in the hopper. You got to get it in the hopper.
Mike, you have to make that your mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dracula versus Frankenstein.
Let's hear about it.
Okay.
This is Gene from Third Eye Cinema taking you behind the lens. Perhaps ironically, Al Adamson was born in Hollywood, California, just in time for the precipitous stock market crash that caused the worldwide Great Depression. Al got his pedigree in no-budget filmmaking as the son of forgotten Poverty Row director Victor Adamson, a William One-Shot Bodine type who was responsible for a number of low-rent B-Westerns through 1935, before becoming producer and uncredited bit player in similar fare straight through the 50s. Al started his own much-maligned film career in 1965 with the grim heist film Psycho A Go-Go, which appropriately enough was cannibalized by Al himself 7 years later, with additional footage involving mad scientists and zombies to create the confused Blood of Ghastly Horror. Al, like Hong Kong schlockmeister Godfrey Ho and exploitation bottom feeder Geraldine Traer, would become chiefly known for this sort of shoddy, nearly incomprehensible cut-and-paste effort, where two unrelated films or sets of footage were spliced together by the flimsiest of rationales and to much viewer confusion. One of the best of his earlier films would probably be Hell's Bloody Devils, a film involving secret agents, bikers, Nazis, and the evil Colonel Sanders in the more amusing of his two film appearances. Al would continue to take footage wherever he can find it in order to create his shoddy masterworks, and his use of footage from a Filipino caveman film to create the bizarre horror of the blood monsters would lead to an arrangement with Hemisphere Pictures, who produced many of the Eddie Romero films, to direct Brain of Blood, which was perhaps tellingly the only non-Filipino picture the company would ever release. This film would also feature a Skid Row-level John Carradine, who had become something of a ubiquitous presence in Al's films of the late 60s and early 70s, quite possibly from the same day's worth of footage, since he always seemed to portray the exact same mad scientist character in the exact same high school play-level laboratory set. Beyond a minor focus on biker films with Satan's Sadists, Angel's Wild Women, and the aforementioned Hell's Bloody Devils, Al would also dip into other contemporary crazes, such as the Sexy Stewardess film with the Naughty Stewardesses and Blazing Stewardesses, which, as with many of his films, prominently featured his brassy wife Regina Carroll. But more significantly, Al would make a fairly extensive foray into the world of blaxploitation. During his time in blaxploitation, he produced Fred Williamson's Hammer and did two films with karate legend Jim Kelly, who was best known for his unforgettable roles in Enter the Dragon and Black Belt Jones, but who was on hand for the entertaining blaxploitation kung fu spy hybrid Black Samurai and the somewhat lesser Death Dimension. Al also delved into more typical but no less entertaining blaxploitation fare with EI Entertainment's Black Heat, starring Philadelphia Eagles running back Timothy Brown, who'd also star in Al's East Meets West's buddy film, Dynamite Brothers, and Jim Brown's excellent Black Gun. Al returned to his splice and dice ways with the amusing Mean Mother, available from Retro Shockarama, which builds itself around unrelated footage from a Spanish crime film by Paul Naschy collaborator Leon Klimovsky. Later in the 70s, Al would stretch a bit, moving on from the earlier John Carradine monster fest, biker films, and blaxploitation, to such oddities as the pseudo-feminist The Female Bunch, the odd crime film I Spit on Your Corpse starring porn legend Georgina Spelvin, and even some new footage for a German release of Uncle Tom's Cabin, before returning to form was two enjoyable schlock fests, Dr. Dracula and Shakarama's Nurse Sherry. Dr. Dracula is built around an unreleased film Al acquired the footage to called Lucifer's Women, which goes into Wizard of Gore territory and involves Dracula, Svengali, and Satan in a head-scratching but atmospherically nonsensical film. Nurse Sherry, one of Al's last exploitation films, manages to pull in both ongoing cultural fears of the Manson murders and the Exorcist craze with a strange story of a cult leader whose spirit possesses an attendant nurse and sends her on a murderous rampage. While he retired from filmmaking in the face of the effective end of the exploitation and drive-in circuit at the dawn of the 80s, Al made headlines one last time in August of 1995 when he was found murdered and quite gruesomely cemented into his whirlpool bath by a contractor with whom he was having a financial dispute. Al Adamson, a truly unforgettable name in classic exploitation. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, check out Third Eye Cinema on Blog Talk Radio. For more information and upcoming guests, visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/Third Eye Cinema.
Hey, we're back.
Woohoo!
Hey, Russ, do you feel like reading the news?
Sure.
Yeah, get us some news.
Whoa, this is great. This is hot off the press right from Paige.
Girl. And now the news with Aaron Russ.
That dead girl.
Okay, I just did. No. Screenings, screenings, and more screenings. Video violence screening in Providence, Rhode Island. Catch Gary Cohen's SOV DIY masterpiece, Video Violence, screened from an original X-Rental VHS tape on July 24th at 8 p.m. at the 95 Empire Black Box, a combination screening room / gallery located at 95 Empire Providence, Rhode Island. Tuesday, July 24th, 8 p.m. For more info on these and future events, check out arcamfilmsociety.blogspot.com or facebook.com/arcamscreenings. Arcam, that's A-R-K-H-A-M, just in case you guys don't know that. None of that. That's N-U-N. Directed by Richard Griffin, director of Feeding the Masses and the upcoming Atomic Brain Invasion. We'll screen Friday, July 20th at 11 p.m. at Englewood Cinema, 320 West National Road in Inglewood, Ohio. The screening is part of Andrew Scheer's Independent Shadows Cinema Series. You can find out more about the event on Facebook. Facebook.com/pages/independent. What would you call that? Dash?
Yes.
Dash shadow dash cinema slash.
Holy shit.
Am I so serious?
Really?
No, I think what if you
slash 214-329-89191-6690.
Wait, what was after the six?
What was before the six?
If you go to Facebook and just search, what's it called? Super Shadow Cinema?
Super Scary Saturday.
Independent Shadow Cinema.
Okay, I think people can do a little Columbo detective work from there.
Okay, VHS Conquers Baltimore.
Yes!
Indie director Chris LaMartina, Book of Lore, President's Day, and Josh Schaefer.
I know that, dude.
Of Lunch Meat Magazine.
I know that dude.
Oh, me too. Well, not Josh Schaefer.
Lunch Meat.
Okay, the zine devoted to all things VHS.
Mike's just snapping away. How can you even read? All these flashes going off in your face. Holy shit.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I should probably start over.
Okay.
Indie director Chris LaMartina, Book of Lore, President's Day.
I know that, dude.
And Josh Schaefer of Lunch Meat Magazine, the zine devoted to all things VHS, and host of the Monster Channel's Lunch Meat VHS Rewind Theater, are co-curators of a VHS video store-themed event at Artscape, located in Baltimore, Maryland, on July 20th through the 22nd. Each year, Artscape attracts over 300...
Are you serious?
...and 50... Mike keeps taking photos of me. Each year, Artscape attracts over 350,000 music, art, and performance enthusiasts for what has become America's largest free arts festival. Stop by the VHS booth and check out the Alternative Cinema posters, magazines, and other amazing goodies. For more information, visit artscape.org/about. Dan Kinnam and Tim May of VHS Shipfest, along with Matt Desidero,
oh, that's pretty good,
of Horror Boobs, stopped by the Alternative Cinema offices to interview Pop Cinema / Camp Motion Pictures founder and Alternative Cinema host Michael Rosso for their upcoming documentary on the late, great, and beloved format. Stay up to date with the progress on this incredible project by visiting VHSHitFest.com. Let's go to the videotape.
Oh, yeah. We did that already. We already heard from those boys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. That was awesome.
Here I am.
We're sitting here, like, looking at Polaroids.
Yeah. We're supposed to be doing the podcast.
Well, it's a good time to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
RCA announces a major improvement in video cassette recording. Introducing Selectivision 400. Set it today, and for the next 7 days, the 400 remembers the shows you want recorded. It'll turn itself on and off up to four times, even change channels. Selectivision 400, the four-hour video cassette recorder with the seven-day memory.
Let RCA turn your television into Selectivision.
Hey, it's Mike Rosso from the Alternative Cinema Podcast, and we're here to talk about Planet of the Apes comic.
Whoa!
This is our first ever Seduction Cinema comic.
Wow.
Drawn and created by our good pal Noel Scotch Anderson.
Noel!
Hey, Noel!
And it's not just a comic book, it's a comic book that comes with a DVD in it.
Wow.
That
includes
the Playmate of the Apes film. With brand new commentary tracks.
Wow.
That's why, right, I even dragged John in. We actually got their director in here, Zach Snigg.
Special. Heavy duty.
A special.
Now, this is the gateway for kids to get into booby movies.
That's right.
Using comic books.
AlternativeCinema.com.
Taking off, folks.
Wow. AlternativeCinema.com.
Oh, I get it.
What else, Bill?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that Last Days Here, the documentary on the band Pentagram by our friend Demian Fenton, pre-orders now and will be available July 31st. You can order it on Amazon. It's out through MPI.
Really good. We saw it at the IFC Center.
Yeah, we saw it at the IFC Center. It's called Last Days Here, and it's about Bobby Liebling's struggle with drug addiction and the band Pentagram after not being together, getting back together to play. And the band is amazing. Pentagram's fantastic. And the documentary is harrowing. And Demian did a great job. We all know Demian Fenton. And it pre-books for the 31st of July. Get it on Amazon. And it's out through MPI.
Very nice.
So, yeah, cool. Do it.
Grab a bucket and mop. Scrub the bottom and top. There is nothing so clean as my burger machine. With a broom and a brush, clean it up for the rush. Before you open the door, put a shine on the floor. When we finish one dance, start all over again. Tell me, what does it mean? At McDonald's it's clean.
Jason is back. Three times before.
Sorry to change your mind?
You have felt the terror, known the madness, lived the horror. But this is the one you've been screaming for. Because Friday, April 13th, will be Jason's unlucky day. Friday the 13th, the final chapter, rated R.
Now showing at a theater near you.
My segment is on Friday the 13th. I'm wearing my Friday the 13th shirt.
Oh, look at that.
Yay. Because Friday the 13th happens this month.
Does it?
Oh,
yeah.
Does it?
Is this the last one of the year?
Yeah, we were lucky. We had three this year.
We were lucky in our unluck.
Lucky for us.
Unlucky for some.
So I wrote a little thing about Friday the 13th. I was 11 years old when I saw Friday the 13th for the first time. It was the first horror movie I had ever seen, and it scared me out of my wits. The part where Jason came out of the water and grabbed Alice scared me so much that I was afraid Jason would come up from behind my couch and grab me. Ha ha ha. HBO. HBO.
Oh my.
HBO would air Friday the 13th movies on Friday the 13th. Mm. So I recorded all of them on VHS and had Friday the 13th movie marathons with my brother and his friends when they would sleep over. It's a tradition for me to watch Friday the 13th movies on every Friday the 13th. It's like a holiday for me. Bill and I watched them in order, and since we watched the first and second one on the last Friday the 13th, we will be watching the third and fourth one on this Friday the 13th.
Woohoo!
We own Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D, which looks really good on Blu-ray.
I saw that in the theater in 3D.
Oh, man.
Aww. Yeah. Shut up.
Damn.
Were
you excited about
it? I was so excited. But yeah, the 3D effects were far and few between them.
Yeah.
There's a cool scene with the arrow and when they're in the clotheslines.
Oh, yeah, the early
Oh, yeah, that bitch in the beginning, right? That's the second one.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it.
Sorry to interrupt.
But the funny thing is, people heckled that movie like crazy when I saw it.
No.
Heckled.
Where did you see it?
The bitch in Wayne.
It might have been in the third one.
The movie theaters on Hamburg Turnpike down there.
Okay. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was insanity. Heckled.
And I'm away, heckle, deckle.
Everybody was all, it was all teenagers, so just, there was no order. It was complete fucking chaos.
So wait, the bitch was in the third one with the clothesline?
Yeah.
Yes.
How can I not know if it was the third or second one? I'm so embarrassed right now. Part three is Bill's favorite in the series. The best thing about Friday the 13th, the final chapter, is Crispin Glover's hilarious dance scene. It's so awesome. I hold a very special place in my heart for Jason Voorhees because he is the first man who scared me. I have a couple of Jason Voorhees dolls, one of which I brought with me to the podcast.
Ooh, look at that.
Gosh.
See? This is
Sackhead Jason.
Sackhead Jason.
Uh-oh. And, what's he like under that
part
sack?
Two. Jason didn't get his mask until part three.
Oh, that's so awesome. That is really awesome.
Bill got it for me.
Oh, my goodness. Can you hold that up?
He must really love you.
He does.
Look at that. That's a good one, dude. Where'd you find that?
That was at Spencer's, I think.
Really?
Actually. Yeah.
No, it was at Hot Topic.
No, it was at Spencer's.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's a really good one, man.
Whoa. Is it licensed, officially licensed or bootleg?
No, it's real.
No, it's real.
They also had the Leatherface from part two with the suit.
Jason's a ginger kid?
You know, I don't know if he actually is a ginger, but in this doll version, he's kind of a ginger.
I think the flames
and he has
turned
a humpback.
Him into a ginger kid.
Poor Jason. Yeah.
Does he have a humpback in the movie?
I don't think so.
I hope he has good health
insurance. Does he have a pick in the movie?
Later on.
Yeah, I think he does have a... yes, there is a pick. For a little while.
That's a very good one, I got to say.
It is very
What
cool.
part did it start where he had the hockey mask?
Jason didn't get his mask until part three. He stole it from a practical joker in the group and wore it in every film after that.
Yes, he did.
Didn't
that
know
that.
That
was a part of my notes. Yeah.
Yeah.
A horror film fan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Friday the 13th is not typically a day people celebrate. In fact, there is an actual phobia of Friday the 13th called Parascavidecatriaphobia, also known as Frigatriscaidecaphobia.
/1249/.
Karabakafakaphobia. Can't get out of the fucking front door because I'm scared Obia.
Oh, man. Okay. There are many theories as to why Friday and the number 13 are considered unlucky. Some examples of why Friday is considered unlucky are Jesus was crucified on a Friday. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit on a Friday.
Oh.
And the great flood began on a Friday.
Well, all these things never happened, so.
It was raining. Yeah, exactly. It was just raining before. What are you talking about? It was raining a lot before.
One example of why the number 13 is considered unlucky is there were 13 people present at the Last Supper.
Ooh.
Judas, the apostle who betrayed Jesus.
Bastard.
Was the 13th member of the party to arrive.
Say his name again.
Judas.
Bastard.
What?
I don't get it.
You never saw the Last Supper scene in Mel Brooks' History of the World?
Isn't
Mel Brooks is the waiter at the Last Supper. And the
I
guy's like,
oh
no, he says Jesus. Jesus, not Jesus.
Oh,
sorry.
God.
All right, forget it.
We're all completely confused.
Stoops. Jesus, what? What? What?
I'll go back to mine. Nothing. No, I just made it up. He's all effing with Jesus and shit. Be called bastard.
I bet you even your grandmother would.
Which one? This one?
Mother would even condone that, Mike.
Okay. My mother.
Go to church and get your ashes.
Oh my God.
Ash Wednesday.
What?
You walk around with ashes on your head all day on Ash Wednesday?
Yeah, of course.
Oh God, that's embarrassing. Do you still do that?
No.
What an asshole.
I'm not going to tell you
Look
what
at
I
that know. Asshole.
A few years, my dad was a smoker.
Yeah.
A few years, I was just like,
take a cigarette ash.
Done.
That's pretty good. That's a great workaround.
God. That's nice.
A great
good.
Workaround.
It's totally
good.
I should put out a little pamphlet, How to Beat Jesus.
How to Beat
Before Jesus,
Jesus
think, beats
I
you.
I think Mel Gibson already did that.
Yeah.
The whole movie with Jesus getting...
Should I see that?
It's so good.
I don't want to see
So brutal.
It's so good.
Oh, really?
It's a great horror movie.
Yeah, they
movie.
Show it every once in a while on cable. I never watch it, though.
Torture porn.
Anyhow, continue, Russ.
That's okay. Okay. Other examples are 13 is the number of witches in a coven.
Ooh. Ooh.
There are 13 twists of rope in a traditional hangman's noose. And there are 13 steps leading up to the gallows.
No.
Yes. Legend has it that if 13 people sit down to dinner together, one will die within the year.
Ooh, it's horrible.
Ooh. The superstition has spread far and wide. Many buildings don't have a 13th floor. Hospitals and many hotels don't have a room number 13. Most airports skip having a 13th gate and a 13th row in the airplanes. Many cities do not have a 13th street or a 13th avenue, and many streets skip the house number 13. If you have 13 letters in your name, you supposedly have the devil's luck. Charles Manson, Jeffrey Dahmer, and Theodore Bundy all have 13 letters in their names.
Dun dun.
I personally am glad that Friday and the number 13 are considered bad luck. When the 13th falls on a Friday, I celebrate that special day by watching movies where teenagers get massacred by a machete-wielding retard.
We get in trouble for that word, you know, John.
Yeah. I get in trouble
you
for
won't.
It.
John would.
A retard who...
Hey, punch the word hard. Really nail it.
One more time.
Oh, my God.
The guy hasn't written a letter in a whole month.
Oh, my God.
We'll get him to write a letter.
Oh.
Some guy wrote an angry letter because John used the word retard. Even
Are you serious?
Even want to send John to like a retard
when
website of like...
When was
FPP. A sensitivity site?
Yeah.
This wasn't while I was here.
John was sent to a sensitivity site.
Yeah, I didn't even say retard. I said that's retarded.
Yeah. Oh, God. Whoever
Which
you
means,
are,
yeah, lighten
loosen up.
Lighten up, man.
Jeez. Okay. A retard who I love to see get resurrected again and again and again.
Nice.
Ooh.
Did you like part 10?
That's your favorite. I know
it's
that.
I like it. It's awesome. They're in space.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I thought it was good.
I don't really care for that one. The sleeping bag scene is the best thing in the movie.
Did you like part 11? That's the new one, right?
That's no, part 11 is Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, did you like that?
I liked it.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know. They could have picked better boobs. The boobs were like stripper boobs, the hard ones that...
I know in the
it could have been like
13th
real, should have been real boobs in
rehash. They had a girl with fake boobs, and I was like, ugh.
Which rehash?
The remake.
It was a remake. It was like part 1, 2, and 3,
for
like
for
all combined, supposedly.
Well, it was
into
that,
one
there
called
things,
Friday the 13th.
There were things,
yeah, different elements
from part 1 through 6. Actually,
I don't acknowledge the remakes. Any,
you
of
know
them.
What? It's horrible,
they
and I
suck.
Collect the Friday 13th movies, and I didn't buy that one. That's how awful it is. I have every. Every movie except for that one.
And it's just called Friday the 13th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's awful. We saw it in the movie theater.
Yeah, we did.
Total disappointment.
I saw part 4 in the movie theater when I was 10.
Yeah,
wow.
It was Frankie
cool.
Norton. And there were so many kids at this thing. My sister and her friend took us, and we had to sit together just by ourselves because we couldn't sit with my sister. There's too many people.
Of course not.
Frankie held my hand like a girl.
Oh, dear.
And screamed. He'd never been to a horror film, and it was loud as hell. Kids were screaming. I mean, you remember how loud movies used to be, Mike?
Yes.
When you go to the movies? People used to really get vocal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't like people screaming in the
movie
theater.
But they don't do it at all anymore, except for bratty little kids talk and play with their cell phones. But people don't, like, really scream. Like, you don't hear, like,
yeah.
You know, you don't hear people going, go, 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 like trying to like
really?
Chant to people on the...
Come on, man.
I saw Halloween 2 in a theater and people were yelling,
go, 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 go,
to get like Jamie Lee Curtis out of the parking lot.
Hey, when we come back...
Jam-packed.
Yep, and we come back... That's scary.
Yeah, it's pretty frightening. That's a fucking frightening doll.
Okay.
He's special.
He has better hair than I do.
Hey, this is Michael Rosso from the Alternative Cinema Podcast, here to tell you about KillerReviews.com. That's right, KillerReviews.com. Greg Dumont, you know, our pal, Greg. KillerReviews.com and the Killer Reviews Podcast. That's right. Fans of the AC Podcast will love the Killer Reviews Podcast. KillerReviews.com. Reviews, blogs, a forum. Film Finder, the KR Store, Girls of Horror, The Graveyard, Interview, Articles, Horror Arcade. Should I go on and on and on?
If you like cult movies, spooky horror, or girls in bikinis, KillerReviews.com. The podcast, the site, be there. KillerReviews.com. Check it out.
Hey, I'm Noel Anderson, cartoonist, radio announcer, and AC podcast wannabe.
Now that's just sad.
It's sad, and it's pathetic.
I know. I've diabolically insinuated myself into the AC family by producing the first ever Seduction Cinema comic book.
Ooh, very sexy.
That's right. Playmate of the Apes is now a comic book. For more info on my ridiculous artwork and how it can be used to promote and market your movie, go to goofroof.com. Goofroof.com. Want me to draw you some dirty pictures? Goofroof. Goofroof.com. You want to see what other filth I've drawn over the years?
What a dirty, filthy mind you got.
Goofroof.com.
Hey, we're back. Hey, we're back.
Hey, I have to have hump back. Mine's a little small. I got to go pee.
Oh, you do?
I got to pee.
All right. Okay, listen. Big pee break.
Ladies first.
We'll be right back.
I get hot and thirsty riding a skateboard.
Me too. This is a job for Kool-Aid. Hey, Kool-Aid!
Oh, yeah, Kool-Aid. Here, bringing you fun. Kool-Aid's got thirst on the run. Get a big, wide, happy ear to hear
Kool-Aid smile.
Tastes great. Our friend's cool.
Our friend's Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid brand soft drink mix.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
You ate it, Ralph.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
No, Ralph, I ate it.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
Take two Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer neutralizes all the acid your stomach has churned out. For your upset stomach and headache, take Alka-Seltzer and feel better fast.
Did you drink your Alka-Seltzer?
The whole thing.
Truckman! World famous, the Trackman. And hey, we're on break here. The Fidelity's outside doing something, and the Russ is probably peeing.
Yes.
But they'll be back in a second. But the Trackman walked
hey,
in.
Hey, I just walked in.
Yeah, he did.
Just wow. Like that. Just showed up.
And the AC listeners don't know the Trackman, but those who listen to FPP, Film Photography Podcast, probably know the Trackman.
AC listeners don't know the Trackman.
That's right.
Why don't they know the Trackman?
They'll know you after you tell your shit story.
Oh, is that the shit story?
This is the interlude shit story from Trackman.
Well, let's build this up a little bit now. How did we get on the I just walk in here and we start talking about shit, or?
Well, no, we
You had a shit segment?
This has been building up for quite a while. We've told a whole bunch of poop stories.
Yep.
Bill's poop story.
Yep. You've been telling poop stories on other podcasts.
On AC podcasts.
On AC podcasts.
On this podcast.
But you've never told any Trackman poop stories.
No, because we're waiting for you to come by.
We're waiting.
And here you are.
It's been months now.
Conveniently.
Conveniently.
So, what's like the... When did it first start?
Well, you know, I mean, some people, you know, they can hold it in forever. And, you know, me, you know, my diet and whatever, sometimes you just got to go. So there's been a couple times where I had some close calls or not so close calls. So what's the best one?
You have
so many, you can't possibly tell them all in this podcast.
Okay, this is my best poop story. So I was working at the track. Hey. And I'm not real good with heights, okay? And at this one track, there's this big tower, just huge tower to get the horses and, you know, to follow them around. And I didn't like working up in this tower. And I had to climb all the way up there. It takes like 5 minutes and you look down, you fall, you break your head. So,
yeah.
You know, made me real nervous. So I'm up there and, you know, running a couple races and following the horses, and I got to take a shit. It's just, all right, listen. And I don't have enough time to climb all the way down this ladder, climb all the way back up the ladder, and get there in time for the next race. And what am I going to tell people? Oh, send some relief up. I got to take a crap, you know? No, you hold it in like a man, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so what do I do? Man, I'm thinking maybe I can hold it into the end, but we're getting to the seventh race, and there's just no way I'm going to hold it in.
And you're up in a tower.
I'm up in a tower. I'm like a mile high. I mean, there's no bathroom up there.
How big is the room?
Oh, you know, big enough to put a couple cameras in and you know, not that big. I'm looking around, there's got to be, I mean, there's a lot of junk up there. People take their newspapers up there. People take their lunch up there. There's all kinds of crap up there, you know? So I'm like, all right, there's got to be something I can crap into here. So I look and I see, okay, there's a bunch of newspapers here. And okay, I'm gonna just do this. So I go, going off mic for, you know, headsets for a second. So I go and I do my business. Stinks like high.
Where do you do your business?
In the track, in the big tower.
But where?
But in a bucket? What? In a bucket on a piece
on
of paper?
On a bunch of old newspapers.
Just a squat and poop.
Just squat and poop.
Is there a window in the place?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it like an open window?
Yeah, but nobody can see me. I'm all the way up there.
And you're squatting down.
I'm squatting.
Anyway.
Do you have any toilet paper?
No.
Newspaper.
All right. So go ahead. I don't want to interrupt.
So I do my business, and now, of course, you know, now what do I do with the debris, right? With the excrement. What do I do with it?
Well, I don't know. What do you do with it?
Well, so, you know, I get all the newspapers, and there's like some paper bags up there. So I find the biggest paper bag that somebody probably had their lunch in last year. And stick the newspapers with the poop and stick it in the bag. Now, what do you do with the bag? I'm not going to sit with this bag. So I just threw it off the tower.
Just discard.
Like, bombs away.
Where did it land?
It landed on top of one of the barns.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. I mean, you know, this horse isn't crap everywhere anyway. What's the difference?
So, yeah, it'll just
How
blend
did you wipe
in.
Your butt?
I don't remember.
Oh, come on.
I don't. Maybe I.
Newspaper.
Use like an old bag?
Maybe I use my underwear.
Oh.
I don't remember that part. I didn't know what was going to be grilled about it years later. That's gross, huh?
How many poop stories? We can't tell them today. How many poop stories do you have?
That's the best one.
That's the best
that's
one.
The one. That's the one that pops into my head every time
anybody That's not
asks.
The best one.
Really?
The one from Henry Street where you were driving home from work and you had to pull into like an industrial alley.
Oh, well... Yeah, that was driving home. That was in California.
Oh, that was in California.
Yeah, I used to drive down this long, dark road.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was a good 20 minutes of long, dark road, nowhere to shit. And so I knew this. And so, you know, I was passing by the last Burger King. I'm like, should I go in the Burger King? Now I can make it.
Oh.
So then 5 minutes in, I was like, uh-oh. Now what? So, I had to pull over.
Yeah.
And pull into a grassy field and do my business and... Get back in, and I guess as I tracked my way out, I might have stepped in it. And then I got back home, and then I made a big shit track on the floor.
Oh, what kind of floor?
Carpet? It was a hardwood floor.
Oh, good.
Yeah, sure. And I looked. I was like, oh shit! So cleaning it up. I had some roommates, so nobody knew nothing. Yeah.
Oh.
That. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a terrible one.
That's a bad one.
That's the worst if you track through your own
track through
poop.
Your own track poop.
Track poop.
Well, thank you, track man.
You're really going to tell this? That how many people are going to listen to this?
Thousands.
Oh, crap.
Literally.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe I'll get some more fans.
Yeah.
Can I do a little plug?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Screamatthewall.net.
Yes.
Which right now is just goes to my YouTube channel, but I got some big things planned, so hopefully we'll get a couple people going there. You'll see a lot of AC movie reviews.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. Scream at the wall, spelled out, .net.
Screamatthewall.net.
There you go.
John the Trackman's right. YouTube channel.
Right. I don't talk about shit on that, though.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe you should tell that story.
I just did.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, we're back.
Hey.
Hey, there.
Hey, before we get into the shibbity shank at Bill has, hey, you know, when we were in, John and I were in London a few weeks ago.
That's very cool. Yeah. I like the photos.
Stonehenge photos.
Stonehenge photos.
Those were really cool.
It was raining and the wind was incredible.
It was so fucking windy. So there was a perfect Stonehenge day.
Yeah.
Because then we went and had a fucking awesome home cooked meal at a local pub, right?
We did.
And then did anybody turn into a werewolf?
No. Were there some any strange people at that pub. As soon as we went in, everyone was like,
yeah.
Like, the outsiders.
Outsiders, yeah.
Don't tell them.
It felt like I was in American Werewolf in London.
No, they were crazy. They were pretty cozy. Yeah. But you could obviously tell we were Americans.
So, like 50, almost 50 people showed up, which in a small little mammography shop, that's pretty good because the place is packed.
Yeah.
A
lot of people.
And of those 50-ish people, quite a few listened to the Alternative Cinema podcast.
Is that right?
Oh. Yes.
I never got that far.
Yeah. You were standing right next to me.
I was?
Yeah.
Was I talking or like?
Oh, that's
hello there from over the pond there. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Like who?
Cheerio.
I'm
going to cut it out because you don't remember.
Darren.
Well, Darren Riley, yeah, of Darren. Course. Yeah. Pancho Riley.
Of course. But I think that's pretty cool that people listen to the Alternative Cinema podcast. And some of the folks said they don't even care about what we're talking about.
Really?
They just enjoy the banter.
Well, good.
That's cool.
That's
good to know.
Yeah.
How about this banter?
We should have be great to have an alternative cinema podcast weekend in London.
Whoa.
That would be a,
yeah,
would
your
be
treat,
fantastic.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fly us to London.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I'll be there, Mike.
Yeah.
We'll start a fund. The listeners in London can donate $1 a week.
$1 a week.
We could get Electric Wizard on the show.
Really?
Yeah, they're big horror fans. And they're we play them on our show. We're playing them today.
They're an English
band? Yeah, we're
band?
Playing them today.
Yeah, British band.
Oh, yeah.
They'd
yeah.
wreck our hotel room. They come in, hello.
Hello. Right,
this price is too fucking clean.
Lindsay Buckingham will kick your ass.
Lindsay Buckingham.
Yeah, she's their guitar player.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Lindsay Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac?
No.
It's, well, it's...
Of name only.
Of name only.
Oh, it's like a goof.
It's a girl guitar player, probably.
Yeah. So, some more songs here. Are they all on your agenda?
They are on the agenda.
What do you got? Should we talk about this really quick?
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's
well,
awesome.
First of all, we're all going to watch this because we all have VHS players.
Yes, we do.
And Mold, this isn't science, it's murder.
Didn't we talk about this?
Briefly, look at the covers.
Yeah.
Look at the guy in the upper right.
And it
corner.
Looks like it has a pad
What's
inside.
What's that all about?
He's like, look at his finger.
Some strange looking people on this cover.
Yeah.
But, you know, when was this movie made?
New.
Yeah, this is new.
See, John doesn't even know it's new.
No, I'm just checking because I don't want to, you know.
What's it say on the spine?
But, you know, I was going to say because the cover is definitely of the era.
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 Can you look at the spine, John? Look at the
spine.
Upper top. What's it say?
It says horror boobs video.
Whoa.
Too sexy for the silver screen.
Look at the guy in the back. Isn't that awesome?
That's pretty insane.
That's pretty intense.
It's filmed in sci-fi color.
Oh.
Specific process, don't you know?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about it next show.
Cool.
Yeah.
What show?
And we'll get this vinyl transposed to MP3 so we could...
Nice.
Unless, Matt, you have this online somewhere. It's called Beware the Mold.
Yeah, we got to listen to that. Do you need me to...
Beware the Mold.
And it has a mask, John. You see the mask
in
there?
Yeah, I saw it.
And it's... Every mask is pre-worn by your mom.
Yeah. Really?
In her panties before put in there.
Is that why she has that unsightly bulge all weekend?
Look at it.
I saw it.
That's a mask. You know, no, but that looks like a
it's
used...
a duck mask.
No, it's a
looks
mask.
Like a
they
used
call it a duck
feminine
mask.
Napkin.
Oh, no, it's
yeah.
not a duck mask.
That's what I'm saying. They're used.
It looks like...
Mike, you're so fucking funny.
No, it's true.
Do women use, this is kind of a sensitive question. Do women use feminine napkins anymore?
I don't know
anymore.
If I should talk about that.
Anymore.
Such an old
it's
thing,
so
right?
old fashioned.
It is, right?
What are you asking me for? How would I know?
You know? Your time of the month, you know?
How the hell would I know?
That's
I still only use tampons, so I wouldn't know.
Okay. All right, we won't talk about it.
All right.
It's a thing.
Yeah, yuck.
So. Animal crackers, anyone?
Bill, what's going on? Well, what's this?
Animal crackers. Have some.
Okay. Is it open yet?
Animal crackers in my soup.
Special edition. Oh, really
Tigers
quick.
Tigers and bears go loop-de-loop.
We have Camp Motion Picture buttons, which I couldn't find.
Really?
Where are they?
I couldn't find and bring. Where'd you put them?
I didn't put them anywhere.
Camp Motion Picture buttons.
Yeah.
Got little ones, and we got the bigger ones.
You going to give some of those away?
Yep.
I bet the bigger ones are...
Ooh, you know what? They're making pork chop buttons, and they're going to make one of me.
No way.
Yeah,
really?
A rust button.
Yeah, the... I'm assuming
the boob shot?
Scream one.
The scream
one. No, not shot. The boob shot.
Oh, well.
The sorry. Screaming one.
Yeah.
Screaming boob shot?
At least I'm assuming.
When are you going to be
on? Yeah, that would be kind of weird if it was a button of my boob.
Why aren't you on Horror Boobs?
I don't know. How do you get on Horror Boobs?
Matt!
You
submit
know the guy.
A photo of
I
your
now
boobs.
Know the guy.
I don't need to be on there. It's cool.
Okay. Matt, listen. She's in pork chop.
You know, there's pictures on TLA, and they removed the whole pork chop thing.
Oh,
I
really?
Guess they remove stuff after a while. It's weird.
What do you mean, it's not there anymore?
Nope. So there are no pictures of my boobs on the internet.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Sorry.
Well, I'll have to remedy that.
Yes.
What do you got, Bill, while I'm trying to, you know, here.
So,
just rip it open. Why are you being so delicate? Like a
it's
doctor.
It's hard. No, it's hard to open those, right?
I don't want to be like it's Bill's. I don't want to be like.
You can just open it up. It's
show
fine.
You how you
it's
do
not
it.
A collector's item.
Don't,
it's,
don't be mean.
I'm not going to be mean. You just
animal
like
crackers, folks. Animal crackers. Last night, the Russ and I were at the pharmacy, and I was like, Bubba, will you buy me a present?
He's
she
never
said,
opened
okay.
up nice.
No, and she
never.
Got
never
me some
did.
Animal crackers.
Yeah. Now that I do that, I don't think I've ever had a box of animal crackers in my life as a youth. That opened up nice.
You can carry it around.
Yeah.
That's very cute.
Why the fuck is that?
What?
The taste
30
of
years later, they still have not improved the fucking
they haven't improved
container
the taste
they
either.
Put it in.
Well, wait. Mm. Are you talking
look
about...
Look at that. That never opened.
This
up.
Right
never,
here.
Ever, never, ever. Mm. That's why it's in a box, because you have to close the lid, because the shit would go everywhere if it was left up to that.
The taste brings back
shitty
memories.
Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tastes like compressed cardboard and a little bit of vanilla.
It tastes like old people.
Yeah.
Grandma, what do you got? Animal crackers. What?
Want some?
I want Mellow Mars.
No, animal crackers.
What a fake Newton.
Take it away, Bill.
Okay.
What's the topic?
Fake right. Newtons.
So, you may know Fernando De Leo from his erotic horror sex clinic Slaughter Hotel or his softcore sex romp 2B20, but he's mostly known for his articulately crafted, ultra-violent, sleazy, smeared crime films, of which four are present in this relatively new box set from Raro Video, which is the Fernando De Leo Italian Crime Collection.
Oh, my God.
It's on Blu-ray, and I believe it is also available on DVD.
These are Blu-ray. Look at
these
that.
Are Blu-ray.
Oh, look at that.
They're Blu-ray.
Thank God.
Blu-ray.
Now, if you're like me and you're always looking for a new subgenre to get into, something to tickle your bloodlust, these are the ticket. A great jumping-off point. Huge fan of the horror genre. I love slashers, and the giallo provided a nice outlet for a cat-and-mouse splice and slice and dice. But like many of you, I have exhausted almost all the horror films I can get my hands on, and I'm digging deep into the giallos, too.
Sorry.
So what could get my thirst for carnage better than its crime counterparts, the really gritty Italian thug thumpers? So I've seen a few of these Italian crime films, like The Heroin Busters by Fulci, Beast with a Gun, Cries of a Prostitute, but none of them really came close to Fernando De Leo's Milu trilogy. Now, let's see here. Caliber 9, the first, 1972, has Ugo, a mug-faced jailbird suspected of hiding loot from his boss, on a stint in the joint, and he attempts to go straight, and he's violently pulled back into the fray of flying bullets. He reconnects with his old flame, a white-hot striptease played by a blonde Barbara Boucher from Don't Torture Duckling. All of Ron Perlman's tough guy roles are based on this cat. Oh, and that sorry sap from Sin City 2. Second, we have The Italian Connection, 1972. Dope deal gone bad, loses some dope from one side of a corrupt mob to another, and a small-time, mild-mannered pimp played by Mario Dolfo ends up taking the blame. Cold, calculated, and super cool, Henry Silva, Escape from the Bronx, Megaforce, and Alligator, and Woody Strode, Silva. Kingdom of the Spiders, and Kaoma, are sent to hunt him down. He loses everything in the battle, his wife and kid crushed by a speeding car, friends wasted in front of his eyes.
Oh, dear.
His only hope, a junkyard crane, which becomes his iron fist of revenge. Really fucking amazing movie.
Yeah.
But here we come to something that I already talked about a little bit on maybe not the last podcast, but the one before. The Russ and I were at the X Fest in Philly, and we saw this film, The Boss, from 1973. Henry Silva sabotages the mob from the inside, also known as Wipeout. Silva opens the movie infiltrating a mafia porn screening party held in a private theater, and Silva uses a rocket launcher to blow them all away with individual direct hits to the face.
Ah!
Never so in good. The history of cinematic spectrum has a film started with such a bang, only to be followed by a gruff coroner shooing crying family members out of the office, telling them to shut up as they grieve over the remains of their dearly departed, crumpled in bloody pulps in plastic trays.
Oh my God. It's
a freaking amazing movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Movie takes a sleazy turn when Silva kidnaps the Don's daughter and proceeds to get her drunk and gangbang her with his henchmen. She enjoys it so much, she eventually moves in with Silva and distracts him from killing the rest of the gang. It's really very amazing movie.
What does she do to distract him from his murderous
They have lots
rampage.
Of sex. She's like a horny, hopped-up pothead.
Ooh.
You know, young college girl.
That'll do it.
Protester. It's amazing.
He's mean to her, too. It's funny.
Yeah, it is very funny. The dialogue's great. And then the last, Rulers of the City, 1976. Also known as Mr. Scarface, starring Jack Palance, Alone in the Dark, Without Warning, Dracula, Al Cliver, Zombie 2, and Harry Bear, a young karate-kicking money collector who double-crosses Mr. Scarface to impress his boss, which leads to the downfall of the entire family. Though more lighthearted than the previous films, filled with comical fight scenes, it picks up when the gun-toters end up at an abandoned slaughterhouse for a noontime bloodshed. The music is a mix of pounding soul, fuzzy guitar psych, experimental percussion, and Western themes, full of groovy clothes, tough lingo, witty, macho, and armed to the teeth, just like Italian horror and thrillers. The crime films are filled with violent set pieces that will keep you hooked. It's really a great substitute when you're running thin on Fulci's, Argento's, and the like. So dig it.
Yeah, and the music's amazing.
Yeah, the music's amazing. You can get this at alternativecinema.com.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It's real. It's here. It's really amazing.
Oh my God! Look at that.
The soundtrack for his films—they're all very good.
He's quality, eh?
Oh yeah, very quality. Raro Video. Very, you guys are very cool. Rocking.
Comes with a nice booklet.
Yeah.
You
were looking at this very, very interestingly.
I covet it.
You covet it.
Yep.
Definitely should buy it.
You'd actually watch this?
I would totally watch that.
They're great.
Why don't you make a purchase?
I will.
AlternativeCinema.com.
All right, maybe I will.
am I going to get a discount?
Yeah, I got to get the Blu-ray of Horror Express, too, see? Yeah.
And,
So
I just want to say, when we go to England, when we go over the pond, we're going to hang out with Electric Wizard. And they have I just got a new record of theirs. It might be a couple of years old, but it's pretty cool. Now, I was kind of battling with what I should bring because, you know, Mike over here,
yes,
he really likes Dracula, and they have a song called The Satanic Rites of Count Dracula.
Ooh.
But this song is really groovy
lovely.
And go-go, and it's called Dunwich.
Oh,
and the album is Witch Cult Today.
Ooh.
So listen to Dunwich and get down.
Oh, let's.
Brought Black Sunday.
Yeah, and then hope you guys like that. Now I also have last podcast we played Miranda's new band Black Wine.
Yes,
and
I liked all the music last time.
I'm glad you like that. We're playing. I think you're gonna love this song.
It's so good.
This same is a great band.
Song. No, it's a different band, but she was
the drummer.
She's the drummer in Black Wine and in Hunchback.
Yeah, and she also sang some of the songs. Yeah, she's awesome. This song is called Black Sunday.
Yes,
it is for Barbara Steele. And it's by a band called Hunchback, which used to play with Tyrannosaurus Dracula.
Is that right?
And we love them tons, and I'm just really glad that I can actually play this on the podcast, because I think you guys are going to fall in love with this song, Black Sunday.
Vocals by Michael Hunchback.
This one, Mike Hunchback. Are you out there? You're listening? Sing for me.
Yeah.
Hope you all dug it. Get down.
I think that's it.
Where's the CD?
Time flew.
Do you want to play this?
Wow.
I'll throw it on my computer.
Time flew.
It really did.
Yeah, that was a fast one.
Yeah. Oh well, no. Well, I got the Rollins.
You forgot to mention, I've always liked Henry De Silva.
De
Silva.
He's great.
And the thing I used to remember him on, he was on.
Yep.
He's in three of those movies. Two or three of them, I think. But he was always on TV in the 70s.
Uh-huh. Oh, is this guy?
He was always the
Everyone
bad guy.
Knows who he
was
is.
Like, you see his face, you're like, oh, that guy. Yeah. But he was also in Sharky's Machine, one of my favorite movies ever.
Oh, really? I'll have to check that out.
It's a really bad Burt Reynolds
Everyone
movie.
Everyone knows who he is, but no
he's
one
in
knows
Cannibal
his
Run
name.
2 as well.
Yes.
But he's a cool cat. Aaron likes him a lot.
When's he coming to Chiller?
Oh, I wish. Oh, no, he's dead.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nope. Hey, I want to thank everyone for listening. And got to write in to podcast@alternativecinema.com or send a letter to P.O. Box 152, Butler, New Jersey, 07405.
Yeah.
We're going to see you next month.
Yeah.
say that was the last time I was violent, about 3 days ago.
And you think you were justified? You put one
definitely. Out. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because the thing is, man, is like when you're driving on the road, I mean, like you get a person who's that rude, I mean, they're going to kill you. So, like, if you give them a quick, sharp shock, they don't do it again. Dig it? I mean, he got off light because I could have given him a thrash, you know, I only hit him once.